God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus is coming. Don't get tired. Don't give up. He's coming. All right, he's coming. I know as a child, my brother and I sometimes would misbehave, and my mother would say, y'all better cut it out. I'm going to tell your father when he get home. And we had an idea when he would come home. So we knew we had a little bit more time to misbehave. And sometimes daddy would come home early. He had gotten laid off and came home early. We were in trouble. So don't think you know when Jesus is coming. He said, in an hour you think not, bang. So you need to get saved and stay saved. Amen. You ought to have joy in your Christian life. One of the problems that we have in Pentecostal expression is we operate on the immediacy of emotion, which means that when we grab it, we have the joy from the grabbing, but we tend to lose the joy later in application. It's the same way with marriage. You know, you get married because you're attracted to each other. We think that attraction moves into love, and then love is the next natural evolution of love would be marriage. But it doesn't work that way. You should give yourself a chance for the pot to boil, right? First it heats up in attraction, then it boils in love. Let it cool off. Let it drop back to like. If you go from like to love and go back to like, then go ahead and marry, because then you have room to go back to love. If you marry at love and then find out you no longer do, you stuck. And it's sad to belong to someone else when the right one comes along. And that's how we are with Jesus. We became enamored with the move of God. We became enamored with the ministerial pull of God. And then once we settled into the ministry, settled into our so-called calling, we lost our passion for God. We don't search for God the way we used to because we feel that we've reached this particular zenith. What I'm told from history, they had a term in the 60s called nirvana. And nirvana was usually related to the hippie and yippie and drug culture. It meant that you reach a position of mental peace that you're just calm when you get there. It's like, you know, taking in a real good hit of some marijuana, you know, some real good stuff, not the stuff from Columbia Avenue. I mean some real good stuff. You know, I don't know anything about it from personal experience. Never. But just from what I read, and now especially from my pharmacology classes and my discipline of study, you can get to that. Some of you are smiling already. I could look at you like, go ahead, brother pastor, go ahead. Go ahead. As soon as I get outside, praise God. But there is a place that you reach. There's a place that you reach where it's like you just become nothing bothers you. And that's what the hippies and the yippies tried to reach. And I think that inadvertently, without effort, we're trying to reach that place with God through ministry. But it doesn't come through ministry. It comes from relationship. Now, I trust that you are able to go with me. Are you able to go with me? Okay. I trust that you are able to yield to the Holy Spirit as he desires to break the mold of traditional church membership. Now, there are things that happen in church. The Bible says on four occasions, how does the just live? 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 All right, that's eight times. So it should be starting to get in there now. But my task is to take that particular passage, that understanding, and make it applicable to your life. Living by faith is not having an emergency system. Living by faith is exactly what it says. I live by faith. It has nothing to do with answered prayer. When we discover what it means to believe God, which I don't think we've mastered, joy can come into your mind and live in your heart till Christ comes for you. If we go to Mark's gospel, and in the 9th chapter of Mark's gospel, it's a very familiar passage. It's Jesus's conversation with the father that has the epileptic child. Now, some of you may say, Pastor, you've read this scripture over and over again. Of course I did, and I'm going to continue to read it until the truth of this scripture lives inside of you. There is no time limit on the beauty of the Word of God. You can read the same passage every day until you find something. This is how you will know when that scripture, when you can move to another one. When the message of that particular passage causes you to change your life. You see, the Bible talks about us growing, both in Hebrews and in Peter. They talk about us growing up. Now, theoretically, I should preach on spiritual growth every week until people stop fussing about seats. Until people stop running to other people to argue and fuss about things that have nothing to do with your salvation. Now, I'm not talking about going to the leaders to share concerns. That's fine, because I don't know everything. But I'm talking about people who get upset about things. Somebody talked about me wrong. Somebody did this wrong. And then what happens is that cliques can form from that. Once again, let me be very clear. It is okay to go to leaders with concerns. And it is okay for those leaders to talk to me. So don't think I'm standing up here putting anybody down. I'm not. But when I pray, the Lord says, I can't move in Bethel the way I want to because there's too much fighting. Now, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I can't sit there and say, well, Lord, I'm scared that, I don't know what to do. We pray on the one hand for the move of God, and then we allow the enemy to cause us to fight over things that are insignificant. That's because we don't have faith. You say, well, how does the two work? I'll show you very clearly. It ties into the word believe. Now, I know some of you are wordsmiths. You study all the nuances of a word, and you will find that when you get to faith in the Bible, particularly when you read it in the King James, and then you pull out your trusty concordance, and you begin to look up that word, you will find that believe and faith are identical. In the language of the time, to believe to use faith are identical. That word pistuo, it's the same word. However, okay, listen carefully. You know I don't like silly phrases such as pre-board the plane, large quart soda, jumbo shrimp, really, really hungry, very, very glad. I don't like those things because to me, they don't make sense. I mean, what is very, very glad? When you explain it, you'll say, it just means I'm really glad. Well, then say really glad. Why all these adjectives? Okay, listen to me carefully. When one speaks of belief and faith from a biblical perspective, they're the same, but they're not the same. If you examine the scripture's teachings, in our Western mind works on definite limits. We can't go to the next level without closure on the first. Now, this is how we've been trained. You can't go to first grade until you complete kindergarten. Okay, we say kindergarten is kindergarten. Okay,
You can't go, unless you're in the Philadelphia school system, you can't go to second grade unless you complete. Okay? All right. So you understand my concept. There's this platform way of building. All right? I got to complete one thing. So here's what we do. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance of hope. So what we do is we say, okay, you have hope first. Once hope is completed, it migrates into faith. And then when faith is done, it moves into trust, because trust is the residual of faith. It's the residue of faith. It's what comes after the situation. And then we'll say, all right, I believe, and we'll throw in a preposition that is completely inappropriate for a Christian. I believe in God. Explain that. There are some things that Christians shouldn't say, because it does not fit into the socialization of our experience. A sinner, a one-time agnostic, can be convinced by a preponderance of evidence from creation, from manifestation of people, where they come to the conclusion, I believe in God. Now, what will that get them? To say I believe in God, what will that get you? Nothing. Because when you read the Pauline epistles, whenever Paul uses belief and faith and throws it into a God concept, he removes the preposition. In Acts 27, when the storm comes, he says, I believe God.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit ericlambertministries.com. ericlambertministries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit ericlambertministries.com and add to your digital library today.